stay or don't have this or don't have that. The state will pay, I think it's $29.50 a day to that person where they can go and rent something if they can find it. But there's no place they can go, so the state's paying $100 a day for a lot of those people to keep them in the carriage facilities. And there's, I think, 17 or 18 of these units, facilities in Anchorage, aren't any in Fairbanks. And if somebody had the money to get them going, it would actually, of course, you make this argument for lots of state programs, it would relieve the cost to the state of caring for a lot of people. It's costing them $100 a day when it should only be costing them 30.
And that was the argument in creating this law, but we didn't put enough money in it.
That's right.
And what can you do if you want to borrow? Even now, $50,000 doesn't do too much of anything. It might improve extra playroom or...
Let's work on something like that and we'll bring it back up.
Well, I'd be kind of, you know, you have in your packet a response from the commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
And he says residential care facilities, no applications have ever been received. This is the one where they sent out notices because they never got any application. They sent out notices to every single residential care facility and didn't get any applications even after that.
Mm-hmm.
And they've only got 80,000 in there, and they're saying that you could just wipe it out and it wouldn't make any difference. And
what can you do with 80,000?
That'd be the total amount.
Well, I think probably the structure of the loan is such another use. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, one point I think you'd realize on both of these programs is basically they're oriented the way the law says for somebody to establish one of these. That's why perhaps maybe they get a response from those already existing. Because they already have requirements. The law specifically says to meet the requirements to set up a residential care facility or set up a child care facility. Now, the other factor is residential care facilities, you can only borrow $20,000. And obviously, you're not going to set up anything.
That's the point we're making. Yeah, the program is worthless the way it's written. You know.
Yeah.
I think it's
the application of child care program. In terms of the licensing requirements, you don't have to be getting a loan in order to get a license. You have that.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
You don't. Yeah, but.
I don't know about the residential care program.
But if
well,
somebody
what,
wanted.
How does that relate to what he said, though, that you don't have to get a loan to get a license?
Well, what he's saying is, if I understand correctly, what you're saying is the loan is for the purpose of getting the facility to the point where you qualify for a license. But we took that out of the statute last year
for daycare.
Yeah, you have to be licensed in order to get one. The point is not to get the facility up, it's to make improvements on the facility.
Well, what's the loan limit on that? 10,000? It was 50,000.
No,
50.
It went from 10 to 30, and now it's at 50 now. Yeah.
That is for daycare, for the
that's just
residential.
For
residential
additions or maintenance and upkeep on existing facilities.
No. I think that's a good.
We're talking about establishing a new facility from scratch, building one.
Well, you're focusing on this residential care facility thing, right?
And daycare center too.
What would you like to do with the daycare center? Increase it so they could start a home.
They could build one. Yeah.
They can't build one for 50 grand.
That's right.
But you wouldn't want to put. You know, one of the problems with this kind of thing is that if like the place where I take or used to take Nicholas to in Anchorage, they didn't own their place,
right?
And they just leased it from a church, so they couldn't access this money, and yet they needed an appropriation to put in sprinklers. Or they were going to get shut down by the city, and eventually the city came up with the money for them. But I wonder what we can do about that.
Okay, this is now you're getting to the meat of it. Churches who aren't, or church Sunday school buildings that aren't busy during the week, have donated their space for daycare centers. But we're getting to the point where those kind of basically zero cost facilities are used up. And with the state promoting the daycare programs, there aren't facilities with low enough costs to the provider to maintain the demand.
I'd like to do two things, though, because if you increase the cost, if you increase the loan limit to where somebody could build a new place, and you're talking like a lot of money then. I mean,
yeah.
You're talking 150 grand or something.
To compete with those no-cost sales, it'd be an impossible situation, I suppose.
Well. But it's not only that, it's you wouldn't want to put an incentive that if a guy could get zero upfront money to start one, you know, to remodel an existing place that he didn't own, and yet, and but it would be cheaper, you know, in terms of total dollars to him. But he couldn't get any money for that, so he'd want to access this loan program and build a whole new facility, and you know, the cost to the, you know, the costs are going to go way up with a new place as opposed to just remodeling some old structure. So I think, I'm wondering if this program allows for remodeling of structures that they don't own currently.
Well, that's something that's even for structures that you don't own.
Right.
Well, it's hard to get really a straight answer on that. But the problem is that they don't have enough experience with the program to know one way or another whether or not we need to make that change. I mean, that's why we argue for that kind of conservative approach, even though, I mean, obviously, if anyone wants to make changes, we can go ahead with them, but we just don't know enough about what the needs really are, other than, you know, each individual person's one experience with a constituent phone call or...
Well, the only people that can use this now are going to be people that own their own, that happen to own the building they're in and happen to need some improvements that are less than $50,000 worth, right? I mean, we're sort of limiting the group that can even access it. I mean,
but there are other programs too. I mean, the rural facilities, there's a grant program, and also last year we added that thing to the assistance statute, which says you can get $50 per kid per day, which takes the need off a lot of those operators.
I don't know if we could go to a high enough figure where people can build a daycare center, but man, I mean, you gotta have, building it from scratch, you have to have all these, you know, things and all these protections and everything, and man, it must cost $200,000 to build something.
I was gonna say minimum $200,000 if you're gonna build it.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
then you're going to be too long.
Yeah, but we never provided for this program to begin with, you know, and it was always piecemeal. Whatever we did with this program, it was just the generous residue of state funds, you know, just whatever was left over went to this program. And that has always been my real complaint about it, because you know, we generously give to the senior citizens program. We gave $1 million just now. We gave something for agriculture, but then it always is the last leftover. I mean, maybe 1 week leftover, if it were food, probably is getting moldy. So it's just, you know, what is left is what is given to this program. And I can see why, because this is not an income generating necessarily. It is one of those that make a little money for the provider, but you can't assess too much from the parents because they just don't have that kind of money. So it's not the revenue generating thing, it's just another one of those programs that we have to provide in order for people to have confidence in someone to take care of their children when they're
sick. Oh yeah, I know. Where I'm coming from is that I'd like to see the program a little more helpful, you know. And I think that one of the things we ought to do is make sure that the statute says that the $50,000, if there's anybody in this circumstance, the $50,000 could be, you know, you could borrow the money if you didn't own the building you were in. I mean, you know, you could borrow the money for improvements, you know, whether they wanted to build a playground in the back of the church or, you know, whatever the heck it was.
And improve somebody else's property?
You have a difficult time.
Well,
you
got a long-term lease, you know.
99 year?
I don't know, but that doesn't make sense?
No.
I'm just thinking this one program, they don't need the money anymore, but they were in this church building and they had to improve it, and it was only $17,000.
What if it's a school?
What?
What if it's a school?
Well, in any case, this is a marginal program, and my immediate suggestion right now is to increase the amount, and maybe next year we can come back and really do a good review of it. We have never done it because you're always reluctant to do it. Last minute, you know.
Okay, the motion would be to increase it to 400,000 and increase the term to 20 years. Anything else?
400?
Yeah,
400. Double it. Oh, you mean the money available?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Don't change the 50. Is there an objection? Okay, it's ordered.
On that one point there. I remember in past years we'd start a program with the state loan program and ask whoever's implementing that program to report back to the legislature for the findings with the, you know, their findings with the past year's experience with that particular program. Can we do something like that with this?
And that's basically what we set up. As soon as the level of appropriation is known, they're going to get together with the licensing people at DHSS.
Yeah, but, not to, you know, what we've done is this, you know, in the past years with these loan programs, and particularly like the bigger ones, always says there shall be a report to the legislature of its findings, and then the legislature will decide, all right, this is a good program.
Why don't we just ask them to, you know, to report, not official report to
No, that's what I mean, just, but, you know, have something, an overview of what has happened the past year, so we can, you know, here we're making a decision, we have nothing in front of it.
Okay.
But
we did it on an informal basis, because there was some indication that they might want some money to do it, and we put some language on board, they would want money. I mean, they were going to do it, and then we can expand the program based on what we know, but
Russ, I don't mean official report document, but it's something that, you know, say this is what we found and, you know, so on and so forth.
Okay, we're going to adjourn in just a second, but we got to get some preliminary numbers here for the appropriation bill. And we've got a couple other questions that we have to address. Did we already, I guess we already addressed some. Okay, now, the, let's go, do you have this piece of paper in your package?
I'll borrow it, Bob.
It's the list of all the, you got extras?
We don't mind.
No, hell no. All we got to do is find it. Well, I saw it in here. I got it.
You know, we never asked them about the mobile home program. I guess it's everything going okay.
Oh, they got too much money.
No, I didn't get that at all.
Got to cut some out.
Oh, this is the one we had earlier this week.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Mortgage program, Sam, 105. Change it from 133 to 105.
Wait a minute.
FY83 request for governors.
Well, I wanted to ask a question today, and I didn't get around to it. Real quick, like, did anybody or have you had any conversation with HFC? That request that they had today, that's going to meet their anticipated demand for the next year?
Yeah, $300 million more than last time they were here.
Yeah.
Okay, proceed.
Okay, mobile home program 45, rural owner-occupied strike.
What was the first one again?
Mortgage program SAM, 105.
105, and you want to put that under the request, FY83 request, or the governor's?
Oh, yeah.
Which one do you want to put it under?
Well,
so what'd you do?
What's the FY83 request? That's the agency request?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would put it under that.
Is that our bill? No. Our bill is FY83 governor. Just put it, just strike governor.
Okay.
Be ours.
That's what I wanted to find out. 105 million.
105, 45 for the mobile home for rural owner occupied strike.
What's 105? 133 to 105?
Right.
Right here. That's the last column.
45 remains 45. Do you have one of these?
No, yeah. But I don't really. I don't think I need it. I
mean, he's not interested.
We hardly ever. I mean, we do individual appropriations, but when you get going like this, it sort of passes out of our hand. You could just follow along.
Okay.
Just overwhelms them. They just can't get oriented to that.
I know.
Slow and deliberate.
I'm not oriented either, so, you know, I feel bad.
Okay.
Rural owner occupied, strike it. Rural non-owner occupied, that's the rental program, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
No?
No, that's
a rental.
That's what they said
in
the last one.
That's what it means, a rental.
You're saying no?
No, I'm not sure. It doesn't include single family, non-owner.
Yeah.
All the way down to single family.
Yeah.
Okay, well, does that go, you know, that's the question. Does that go with the other one? It'd have to, or it wouldn't make sense.
Mm.
But, well, that was part of their 45. It was 45. Where was his number? Here it is. He had 40 for HFC Rural Remote 35. No, he didn't have that in there.
Oh, it's the last one. HSC rule, non-owner occupied.
Hey, wait a minute. Hold it. Run.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks. When you're talking about combining these, you're talking about both the rural remote program and the non-owner occupied.
Yeah.
You got no problems with both.
Because the non-owner thing pretty much is along the lines of what we do on senior citizens.
Okay. So
scratch it.
Strike that one.
Which one?
Rural non-owner occupied.
Scratch
that in two, huh?
Right, now change the 225 to, what's the new number?
150.
Yeah, 150.
How much?
150.
For the total?
But wait a minute here
that
now.
Can't be
just
right.
One more.
Sure.
Yeah, it's 150.
We're getting to non-conforming housing, and let's see if you want to catch our figure here.
God damn, it's easy to make money.
So we put $70 million in what we're calling now non-conforming housing, but we're going to change the name. Correct? That's what you need? Or something less than that, depending on what we do with the
what do you call it?
With the interest rate.
Corporate housing or no? Or
70 million is
housing assessment.
Yeah.
I think the number we gave was
the same.
You gave 65 and 50, and we're, you know, I'm adding, I'm taking 15 away from my 85
right.
figure to get 70, so it's really actually less than 70. So we've got a little slush in there, but it might not be too much. But we'll put $70 million in the non-conforming housing, and we're going to call that.
You just spent a bunch of our money we saved.
We're going to call that housing assistance or something.
Rural housing assistance.
70?
Well, it's not all rural, but.
70-15 carryover.
Well, it is, isn't it?
$70 million. It's not all rural because some of their money goes to urban. So let's just call it housing assistance.
Okay. State housing assistance.
Whatever.
Sounds more.
Agricultural Loan Fund.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, thanks, man.
That stays the same. ADA.
Let's put it up to 15.
Agricultural? Forget it. ADA is an appropriation of illiquid assets. It's zero in cash, but it's the illiquid assets.
Yeah.
Of, what are they requesting? 108?
Million?
107 million? Something like that. 107? Isn't that what he said?
You got 508.
108?
108.
Okay. But it's an illiquid asset. And then commercial fishing loans, 9.4. We want to
combine.
So come down to fisherman's mortgage and note program and strike that 1.8. You can see where that is about halfway down. And then he said that this comm fishing loans could take a 10% cut, which is about, well, in the paper he said $1 million, but in to us he said $2 million. You could, remember he said he could take about a $2 million cut there. Carl, do you remember that?
Yeah, I had it written down.
Well, if you're going to wipe out Fisherman's Mortgage and Note Program of 1.8,
that's about it.
And then combine it with Comfish, commercial fish loans,
and
you've got your 10%.
Yeah.
Just about.
Okay, well, I want to combine them, the 9.4.
And the 1.8,
and leave
the 9.4.
And then take $2 million. 11.2, so it'd be 9.2. Well,
those two.
Let's leave it. 9.4.
Now let's put 9.2. That's, I guess, is our 200.
Who's chairman?
It gets us our 200 for the other program.
The what? The program?
For the
we're
child
pinching,
care
we're pinching pennies here. You want to take up this fisheries enhancement question, or you want to bet?
15's fine.
We wanted to make it 5, so.
Can't do it. I need that much just to keep Fred going.
How about 10?
Well.
Can you get any out of there?
The fishermen.
We've been counting on getting some out of there, and I know you've got to.
The PNPs claim that they need 15 just to keep them going, and I need at least 2 additional for the PNPs to pick up some of the Fred stuff. So actually, if they were here.
You need 2 for your action.
Minimum.
And
somewhere from
2 to what?
2 to 5.
2 to 5. And the thing is, there's $5.6 million in here for what's going now. There's the other essentially 9.4 is for expansion of the PMP's program, and you're going to need 2 to 5 for taking over the Fred.
That later.
Yeah, you can't cut to 15. Got to add some on to it.
We'll leave it for now.
You kind of give something for
child care four.
Bob's speech Tuesday.
400. Residential care zero. Big reduction there.
Zero.
Yeah.
Gee whiz, my big pitch.
Alternative technology and energy. What did they say about that?
Are we leaving the 15?
Oh yes, we are.
Only thing that bugs me about this is that it says 5% loans going for
fire stoves.
For wood stoves. That just really grates me. You agree?
Yes. You talk about pollution. You do some study on them wood stoves, these urban areas, it's the worst polluter in the country.
Yeah, well,
and who are burning them? All of the tree huggers.
But Russ, you also you got to think about the rural.
Which one is the Which one is that under the residential energy or the alternative technology? It's alternative technology. What's the residential energy loan for? Anybody know?
Well, weather stripping and fiberglass.
That one's okay then.
But Russ, on this thing here,
is that one part of the audit program?
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
Okay.
On this thing here, you know, okay, I agree with Bob's a certain amount. You know, if for urban area,
90% of this $4 million is going for
in urban
wood
areas?
Stoves. In
yes.
urban areas.
But is it in urban
90%.
Areas?
Yeah, it's all going in the urban areas.
90%. And it's 5% money. Everything above.
I know about that. Just
huh? Everything of everything below some figure, 15,000, or is it 10,000? anyway, whatever it is, all the wood stoves are below that, so they get the 5% rate. And it's kind of embarrassing because you go by those. Yeah, Jim Hewitt. Yeah, I know, you kill me. But you go by those, they have a big sign, 5% state.
Right,
you
know? off of Tudor Road.
Okay, moving right along.
No,
I think,
wait a minute.
I think you can leave it in.
You can chop it out as far as I'm concerned.
Let's just wait. We might come back to what was that up. This adds up to bulk fuel loans. Jeez, I never saw that before.
Yeah, got to do that.
Who's that go to?
Goes out to
CRA. That's CRA's budget cutties.
Okay. Mining loans.
Oh, we got to cut that.
Cool.
Well, didn't they have a balance that we could, but they were saying they
I can get you the figures by Monday. I've been monitoring regularly, and a month ago they had money left, and he said maybe 10 would do it, but by this time of year when loans started coming in, he'd know. So I'll check up on that.
Can we cut it to 10 and then put it back up if you have to?
No, let's leave it there.
I knew
that. You'll spend the 5 somewhere else in the meantime.
I knew I'd pull your chain.
No, you think we might get it to 10? Because I know
there's a possibility. I can let you know Monday.
Okay. Hold on it.
Let's hold right now.
Circle District, 500. Rural Electrification of Revolving Loan Fund. We were going to take that out of that.
No.
And leave it. And scholarship revolving loan fund, $52 million.
You want, is that 52
that's,
million?
That's Kerry's figure. He said the maximum thing they'd need is 54. They have not calculated in anything for reduction.
When did he testify?
A reduction, huh?
When did he testify?
Why did he?
When? Did he eat it?
He didn't, but he was waiting here all day and he had someplace to go, so I said, just give me your numbers. All we need is your number, you know. And we just want, I think everybody wants to fully fund it. Just give me your number. And he said,
oh, that's,
is that a current
54 has always
seven?
Been his number. I said, you mean you can't get any more than 54? Because he'd given us that the last time he testified. And which was essentially only a $7 million reduction from the $61 million he'd originally requested.
67.
Well, 67 included $6 million of federal funds. The
$61
million was general fund, and minus 7 was 54. And I said, you can't get any more. He said, well, we haven't programmed in any potential decrease because of a reduction in demand due to students that are outside the state because of those changes they made. They knew they were going to reduce the demand inside, but they figured that the outside students might still max out, but actually he says that really they won't all max out. So it's probably more like 52 And even if he's wrong, 2 million, they won't notice that until about this time next year.
So we get a supplemental, right?
So he could get a supplemental.
Okay, Russ, is this based on the bill that's proposed to come out of this legislature that's going to tighten things up?
No.
This is the old way.
This is the current statute.
Well, then you can cut another 5 or 10 out of here.
Well, it's not until the bill goes through.
Right.
I mean, I'm not sure I want that bill. I haven't looked at it all. I think that needs to be changed.
Well,
because if they cut the loan limits down,
from what I know of the bill, I don't see how you could not take it, but it's just tighten it up, cleaning it up some. But anyway. Which will say
I don't think it reduced, Bob. I think it reduced.
What's that total?
One bill reduces some.
What's that total?
Hell, I don't know. Where's your calculator? About $18.
You got the numbers? No?
What do you think figuring out?
Yeah. Got it in his head.
I'd guess about $250. 275.
Well, there's 73 on the first part, and then there's plus 30 million, so that makes it 43. And
we got 337.6, not counting the liquid. That was, could be wrong.
Okay. And there's potential for another five
out of the loan fund,
out of the mining fund,
out of the student loan fund.
And another out of the student loan. And another five out of the fisheries enhancement.
Yeah, we were going to go with 350.
Yeah.
No.
300 now?
Where'd that come from?
You should just keep this under your hat here.
I figured it was 350. I thought so last night.
Okay. That's good work for today.
I'm going to go home and get some food.
We'll meet again. Maybe we should see. I don't know.